Our brother James Moabir will give us the exhortation today, and in conjunction with his exhortation, we'd like to turn to Revelation 21. And his exhortation is entitled, The Redemption of Nature. Revelation 21 reads, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh and shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardis, the seventh a crystallite, the eighth a beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophoris, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them were, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We will now hear from our brother James.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters and friends of God's truth. What wonderful words you just heard from our brother in reading of the 21st chapter of Revelation. And with those words, we can come to the conclusion that God intends the earth to be the everlasting abode of man. But it's actually more than that. Because Numbers 14:21, memory verse, reads, "As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." So we are sure that the psalmist was right when he wrote in Psalm 37, verse 29. "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Brothers and sisters, when God created the earth, for man, it was such a beautiful place. It was called a garden. God, looking at it, pronounced it very good. After man's fall from the grace and position God had given him, he not only brought death into the world, but his abode also degenerated. Thorns and thistles and weeds made it necessary for man to continually work to make the once fertile land productive for food and beauty. Let's turn to Genesis, third chapter. Genesis 3, reading from verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou wast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Man has fought the soil ever since. In fact, because man degrades everything he touches by his greed and lust and selfishness, he has not only spoiled the land, but the waters of life and the air which sustains us. Modern day term for that is pollution. And going back to a little history now. The year 1952. Some of us were just a few years old. Some of us weren't even born then. Place, London, England. Date, December 5th through December 9th. It says here, when a thick fog engulfed London from December 5th to December 9th in the year 1952, it mixed with black smoke emitted from homes and factories to create a deadly smog. This smog killed approximately 12,000 people and shocked the world into starting the environmental movement. We are all familiar with that. For we have one, well, actually it's been called the Clean Air Act since then. So since then, through strict government regulations, London is once again able to at least live with itself. This is the extent of which man's willful disregard of the basic laws of nature can bring him. Paul's words are brought forcefully home to us in the 6,000th year of the world's history. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 reads, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So brothers and sisters, the sun that warms also burns. The water that quenches thirst also drowns. And the winds that bring needed rain also wreak havoc. We in Florida can experience and are familiar with these situations. But notice, brothers and sisters, Paul's observation states the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Man and beast and the fruits of the field are all under the curse of God because of man's disobedience. The whole realm of nature, animal, vegetable and mineral are in the bondage together. And until man is released from this bondage, nature cannot hope for redemption. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Where is this dominion now? Where man has subdued the rest of creation, it has been by conquest and not by native right. We are not told when the animals became wild, but we know that when man's nature changes at the reign of Christ, the animal's nature will also be changed. Let's turn to Isaiah. The 11th chapter. Quite a few verses I'll be quoting this morning were also being given to us this morning by the Sunday School entertainment, so they are familiar to us. Going back to Isaiah 11. We'll start at verse 6. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. Keep your finger in that book because you make a lot of reference in Isaiah. So let's now turn to Isaiah, the 65th chapter, Isaiah 65. And verse 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. So we know that all danger that man suffers now from fierce beasts shall be removed, and all nature shall be tamed. The same book, the 35th chapter, Isaiah 35. Starting from verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and conform the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. And then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a wonderful time, brothers and sisters. In referring to the reconciliation, Hosea 2 states, let's turn to that, please. Hosea 2, verse 18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. The land of Israel is where this liberation of nature begins. Back to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, and we'll start at the 17th verse. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that had not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and thus shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is only beginning of the redemption of the creation, for Christ's righteous and blessed rule shall cover the whole earth. We have small prophetic examples of the control of nature in the record of Noah, who was able to make all the animal creation live peaceably in the ark. Remember how an angel shut the lion's mouth when Daniel entered into their den, or how Jesus controlled the forces of nature and quieted the storm-tossed sea and walked upon the water and quieted the sea. So shall it be when God's people commence their work among the nations. All nature shall be welded together in harmony and peace. The first degree of this coming blessing is before our eyes in the miraculous ability of Israel redeeming the desert and the subsequent amazing fertility of the land. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Verses 8 and 9. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And in that day, said Isaiah in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, and we'll start at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God's whole plan for the redemption of the earth and all nature centers in Israel, and from thence all over the world. The third world of nature, which has been under the curse and shall not be forgotten in that wonderful day, is the mineral kingdom. Firm ground on which we walked has been like a stage upon which the drama of human and natural history has been played. The stage is built of rock formations, layers upon layers, thousands of feet in depth. But as form, as they appear to man, through the passage of time, they are ever changing. In this world, nothing is so constant as change. It is estimated by eminent geologists that a short time ago, as 20,000 years, the United States was covered by a sheet of ice over 1,000 feet thick. Notice their term. Geologists speak of 20,000 years as a short time because they have cause to believe that the Earth itself to be 3 billion years old. How indeed can mere man fathom the majesty of the Creator? Sometimes, due to some convulsive movement in the bowels of the earth, molten rock is formed to the surface. There it becomes solid into the hard rock structure that we know. Hard rock structures that we know. The influence of the atmosphere, wind, water, heat, and cold are continuously changing the appearance of the rock surface of the earth. For the most part, this change is so gradual, generation after generation cannot detect the slightest difference. But sometimes the change comes suddenly, which we are familiar with as earthquake. God, who controls the animal and vegetable kingdom, also controls the mineral kingdom. He can control the rocks beneath the earth's surface as surely as he controls the heavenly bodies in their orbits. As an example, let us turn to Numbers. And we are all familiar with the revolt of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Numbers 16. We'll start at verse 23. Numbers 16, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children, saying, Get up, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. In a moment, God caused an earthquake and controlled its territory. Since the creation of time itself, these huge rock formations have been prison walls behind which God has stored the future needs of man and beauties beyond comprehension. Once in a while, man stumbles upon a petty leakage of this vast storehouse and brings to the surface gold and silver and diamonds, emeralds and other precious commodities. But beneath the surface lies such an immense storehouse of beauty that would defy the imagination of man. But is this an imagination? Is this a fanciful dream? Absolutely not. It is the purpose of God waiting to be fulfilled. Back to Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Isaiah 54, verses 10 and through 12. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of precious stones. And in the chapter that was read this morning, Revelation 21. Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. It is a spiritual description, but every spiritual fulfillment has its counterpart in the natural. Brothers and sisters, as we rejoice in the moral and physical changes in man resulting from the glorious kingdom of God, let us not forget the blessed redemption of all nature. When the holy and righteous king ascends to the throne of his father's kingdom and redeems man from his curse, he will redeem the whole realm of nature, animal, vegetable, and mineral, for the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. The earth, all of it. No wonder Paul wrote so joyously in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He was quoting from Isaiah 64:4. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him.
Thank you, Brother James. Let us continue with the singing of hymn 153. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the memory adored, and show the death of our dear Lord until he come. Hymn 153. is exclusively the unamended statement of faith. And we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. After listening to that uplifting exhortation, we should be attentive and focused. Thank you again, Brother James. We all know where our focus should be. Not on what we might have done or did not do yesterday, not on what we're going to do this afternoon or tomorrow, not where we are going for lunch after meeting. Or on anything else, but right here on these memorials. In Matthew 18, verse 20, we read, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Stop and think about that. When we come together to take of the bread and the wine, we are standing in the presence of our Lord. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:23, we read, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The word unworthily comes from the Greek word anexios, which also is translated irreverently. When we approach this table having our minds somewhere else, not giving proper thought to these emblems set before us, we are irreverently presenting ourselves before the Lord and taking of his sacrifice in an unworthy manner. The purpose of these remarks are to help focus our minds on the memorial emblems and what they represent. He left this memorial that we might not forget the price of our redemption and our relationship to him. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews 9, starting in verse 24, we read, "For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into the heavens itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And in Colossians 1, starting in verse 19, we read, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight." And again in 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 2, we read, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In the verses just read, we see him as our Savior, removing the curse of Adam's sins through his sacrificial death and giving us a chance for life. And if you will turn with me to Hebrews 2:14, we read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And in Hebrews 4:14, starting in 14, we read, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And again in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19, we read, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the household of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. We also see him as our high priest and mediator, removing the barrier separating us from the Father, giving us access to the Father through him. And in Acts 1, starting in verse 6, we read, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judah and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This is this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And in Acts 2, starting in verse 22, we read, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and other signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to raise him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise, the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith unto himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foe thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Excuse me, please. Finally, we see him as our soon coming Savior when he returns and the world will be ruled in righteousness. This is the man, Jesus, that we come here to remember, through whom we now have a chance for life everlasting in God's kingdom when it is established here in the earth. With these thoughts in mind, turn with me to Matthew 26, and we will read verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." I'd like to ask Brother Bill to offer prayer for the bread.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of memorial, time to remember thy Son and the sacrifice and life that he gave. We thank thee for the symbol of this bread, that we might partake of it, remember the body that was wholly given unto thee. We pray that we might be mindful always, strengthened until thy Son's return. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings, and through his name do we pray. Amen.
And he took the cup and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I'd like to ask Brother Sid if he'd offer prayer for the wine.
Our merciful and righteous Heavenly Father, once again we come into thy presence to thank thee for all of thy many blessings. Indeed, we enjoy countless blessings from thy hand each day. And none has been greater than the gift of thy Son as the means whereby we might be reconciled unto thee. We are appreciative to thee for his provision and thy consideration for us in providing him for that perfect sacrifice. And we know it was a great sacrifice on thy behalf because thou didst love him dearly. And we thank him for his commitment to thee and for his obedience and love. And we pray that we might reflect that same concern for one another as he has so beautifully demonstrated unto us. We now partake of this cup of wine, which we see is emblematic of life itself. He laid down his life and took it up again in a new form as thy eternal servant. And we pray that we may have that same blessing and privilege, if it be according to thy will. Please forgive us of our many sins and shortcomings. Be with all of thy children as they gather around this memorial table, and help each one as thou alone knowest best. For we pray and give thanks through him who is our Redeemer, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll close with the singing of hymn. I'm sorry, that is not a hymn, that is an anthem. Anthem 27. The redeemed of the Lord shall return, the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and come with singing, and come with singing, and come with singing unto Zion. Anthem 27.
God, our Heavenly Father, we come once again humbly before Thy throne of grace to thank You for the many blessings and peace and safety that You provided us this day in allowing us to gather together to hear words of exhortation and to partake of these emblems in remembrance of Your Son who gave His life on our behalf. We are humbled and thankful. We pray that He might be a guidance and an example for us in the week to come, that we may be strengthened by the things that we've heard and guided towards our vision. We pray for the soon return of Your Son to establish the kingdom upon this earth. We hope the things that we've said and done this day will be found pleasing in Your sight, and at life's end, we may all be found acceptable servants in Your kingdom to be established. It is to that end that we hope and pray and give all thanks, praise, honor, and glory through Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
A special reminder, there will be a potluck immediately after meeting. And the fellowship meeting will be here in the hall following it at 1:30. Thank you.